James chapter 4, we're in James chapter 4, and today we'll just consider verses 11 and 12. In fact, it'll be this Lord's Day and next Lord's Day, and we consider verses 11 and 12. If you want a heading for today's sermon, it's simply this: the clear command. The clear command. James chapter 4, let's just read those two verses together this afternoon. James chapter 4 and verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against the brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, the theme in the two verses before us can easily and rightly be addressed as a standalone teaching, as can many parts of Scripture in this particular letter. Speaking evil or slandering a brother in the Lord by judging them, as James says, is what you're doing. And at the same time, the theme of the controlled tongue runs throughout this letter. And things that we hear today will be things that have been mentioned also before. Note chapter 1 and verse 19, the reminder, this is a strong theme in this letter. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And verse 26 of chapter 1, if anyone thinks that he is religious, but that does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And if we go to chapter 2, the first 13 verses there deal with the sin of partiality. By our speech and by our actions, we judge people based on the external circumstances. There's a rich brother. There's a famous person. Let's give him a little. This guy's not dressed so well. We won't pay too much attention. Perhaps sit over there. In doing so, we make ourselves judges of the law. This is what we've just read. Instead of submitting to the law and loving one another. So also, James has told us that profession of faith without appropriate works of mercy and obedience is a sin of the tongue and a denial of true religion. Come to chapter 3, and James circles back to the dangers of the unbridled tongue, which stains the whole body, and he calls it something that's set on fire by hell. All this in the things that we say. We have the same things here in chapter 4, which starts, as you may remember, in verse 1 of chapter 4, with the fights and quarrels that are stirred up by the passions in our members. Pride and covetousness, we saw, being the root cause. In this case of our text today, verse 11 and 12 matches that opening section of chapter 4, beautifully encircling that call to repentance, which we looked at last week, of submitting ourselves, of humbling ourselves, of receiving more grace, submitting ourselves to the Word of God and to repentance. Judgmental speech is a concrete example of the quarrels and the fights spoken of in verse 1. So that brings us to our text today, verses for today and next week, verses 11 and 12. There'll be three main headings, one today and another two next week. There is a clear command, and that is what is before us today. And you're going to wonder, what about the rest? And what about the consequences of that? And why must we not do that? And those will come next Lord's Day, where we will secondly consider there's a careful caution. There's a careful caution. And then thirdly, there is one cosmic judge. or one universal judge. There is one judge, and so just for the sake of alliteration, clear command, a careful caution, and there's one cosmic judge. So we have one main point to know today, but you know where we're going. And so number one, our main point for today, there is a clear command. There's no doubt about what is written down here today. Simply verse 11a, do not speak evil against one another's brothers. Brothers. And scholars tell us the words translated in English and Afrikaans and English, we have the same thing. In one language, you need a couple of words to describe what one word can say in another language. But the words translated in English, to speak evil against one another, in the original Greek has quite a broad meaning and encompasses defamation, slander, and various other kinds of speech attacking another person in his character with speech in a way that is damaging to him or that may harm his reputation. James is addressing the church, and when I first read this, and I try and read a passage I'm preaching through, the book I'm preaching through, Spurgeon said he did 50 times he'd read a book. I didn't quite do that. But when I first read this and saw speaking evil against one another, that's not our church. We do not speak evil. That sounds so bad, but a lot more is meant by that. And in 21st century English, you might say, by speaking poorly, by speaking badly, by slandering, by whispering, and all of the things that fall in that category. And let's remember that James is addressing the church, and he does so by using that privileged way in which we can address fellow believers. And Hayden, in his sermon last week, brought this out, that what a wonderful thing that we can call one another brother and sister. And James says, do not speak evil against one another in the church, brothers. And ladies, this means sisters as well, as you all know. I have three sub-points here, and it's simple, but I want us to take this to heart and to see where perhaps, though we may not think we slanderers, we do sometimes speak evil against a brother. And this is a command which we are commanded not to do. Number one, thinking or speaking evil. And I've added in a little word there, thinking or speaking evil. Why? Because that's the teaching of the scripture. It is in the heart and in the mind where everything originates. And it is with the mouth, what the heart is full of, that we know the mouth eventually speaks. While we may and should as believers, in some measures, bridle our tongues, which is a Christian virtue, this is the battle that starts at the source, our hearts, and in our remaining sin. And it is there that the battle must first be fought. And Titus 2, men, you may recall something Pastor Tan's teaching on that from that book. This is why the Bible has so much to say about God knowing the intentions of our hearts, about God knowing our hidden motives. And we complex human beings, and we speak in little riddles and innuendos, and we do much harm where we think we are harmless. Those intentions of the heart, those hidden motives. And that's why it is said to us in Psalm 139, God knows our thoughts even before a word is on our tongue. Therefore, brothers and sisters, not only are we to refrain from speaking evil, but we also need to address our hearts. Not only we refrain from speaking evil, but also in our hearts to guard our hearts. This is the spirit of the law. Psalm 139 is one of the classic passages, of course, on the omniscience of God. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know, when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all together. And James is making this thinking and speaking evil a close family matter. Brothers, this is like a family gathering. Guys, don't talk like that to one another. You may say to your family when the kids are fighting crazy. You may have neighbors that are in constant argument, and you know this because you can hear the shouting across the road or across the block. And this private matter, whatever it is, soon well known in the whole neighborhood. Is this not more reason? The family of God, who will face disagreement, who will face conflict even in the church family, to pay careful attention to how we react to conflict and resolve conflict, that we may live blamelessly before one another and in the world, shining like stars. And Pastor Sam has spoken recently, not so long ago, in addressing conflict in the home, in the marriage, in the church. So we'll not spend time on that, but rather, here in our text, we have an example of unresolved conflict and the damage that that caused. Those fights and quarrels in verse 1, and James has to bring out a very real example. He says, here's an example of that. When you speak evil against one another. These things were going on in the church, in the dispersion. And as we've already remarked in that chapter 4 started by addressing the things that should not be going on in the family of God. Fights and quarrels. And I grew up in a home of 8 siblings. And I was the 3rd youngest. And there were 2 families involved, and the first half of the family, the Afrikaans side of the family, we all had the same mother, were a little bit older than us. And my brother and I and my little sister witnessed some terrible fights. And these siblings that go on in a family, and I mean the throwing of cups, the throwing of knives, and the things that happen in a big family when both parents are working. And here before us, we have an example of one of those unresolved disputes. It's taken to the next level, that of speaking evil against one another. And spiritual siblings need to be restrained and are here forbidden to use destructive speech towards one another. Do not speak evil against one another, brother. Do not speak badly. Do not speak poorly against the brother. Or it says, do not use destructive speech, but only that which will build up and assist one another in sanctification. And especially when speaking about a fellow brother and a sister in the Lord. And sometimes we just like talking about people, don't we? And then we say things and we think, why did I say that? And we feel guilty about this thing. And if you have nothing good to say, we mentioned this in the previous sermon, no encouragement to give to a brother or sister, or graces to commend, then say nothing. Do not speak evil against one another. Apply the wisdom from above, which we were encouraged to pray for there in James chapter 16. That wisdom which starts with being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and that wisdom that starts by examining our hearts and motives, because God has already done that. And there we will often find the root cause of our speaking evil. And think about it when you have said something unkind or underhand or whispered something about something. Here's what James says. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every evil practice. And one of those is just this, speaking evil against a brother. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of grace and good fruit, impartial, sincere. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's wisdom from above, and here's the wisdom that's from the earth and from Satan. We speak evil against one another. And sometimes there's righteous indignation. Isn't that true also? We become angry at a brother, at his behavior or his speech. And that anger is not sin. But sometimes as we humble our hearts to receive more grace, we will find that anger should be directed to our own hearts and our own motives and the desire to think and speak evil. Do you know what so-and-so said or did? When we submit in obedience to the words, the commands of Christ, we will find it easier to love our brothers. We will find it easier to do no harm. Even when most people will say, well, there's good reason to do harm right here. And why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Ephesians 4:26, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Brothers and sisters, this is a simple, clear command. Do not think or speak evil against one another, brothers. Here is true religion in practice. Here is the faith with works that James has been talking about and that he has to point out, and now has to point out applications to this fights and quarrels and the breaking down and the accusing and the fault-finding boiling over to speaking evil. If anyone thinks he's religious but cannot bridle his tongue, here's this person's religion is worthless. Thinking or speaking evil is forbidden. Secondly, speaking the truth. Speaking the truth. When I was young, we used to sing this little phrase to one another when you get into fights and someone throws you with a stone or you hit somebody or they hit you. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never harm me. Would that that were true. But unfortunately, nothing is further from the truth. And we must expect the world to hate us and to speak all manner of evil against us. That is what the world does, especially to believers, against us, just as they did to our Savior. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, here in our family, where we are brothers and sisters, we are to love one another. And we are to love out there our neighbors. And Jesus said, even repay evil with good. As Jesus said, turn the other cheek, Jesus said. Well, one of the things you look at when you read a text like this, do not speak evil against one another, we think of slander. And outright slander may not be a problem in most churches. Hopefully it's not a problem in most churches. But let's be on our guard here against the passions that war in our members and the schemes of the devil. Speaking evil is not just slander. Slander is spreading false lies about someone's character or behavior. But speaking the truth may be done in such a way as to achieve the exact same result. And the key to note here in these verses is speaking against. Is speaking against. And this command implies speaking against another in a way which is to prejudice, to the prejudice of another, be it true or false. It is the breaking down instead of building up. And sometimes the question we should be to ourselves, why would I say something like that? And to search the hidden motives of our own hearts and to ask ourselves, what I am saying, is what I'm saying showing love And to love someone is to do them no harm, but rather doing good to my brother in the Lord. And the scriptures are very clear, and maybe your ears pricked up when we said this. The scriptures urge and command us to speak the truth in love. But don't we occasionally hide behind half of this command? Aren't we sometimes guilty of doing that? What did you just say? I'm just telling the truth. That's just me. I just say it like it is. Surely there's nothing wrong in that. And the Holy Spirit would disagree. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And in various places in this letter, in reading Leviticus 19 recently, I was like, what? That's what James is talking about. And consider just two references to illustrate this. Leviticus 19 and verse 15, you needn't turn there. You shall do no injustice in court, you remember, in James. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. And you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. And I was starting to think, well, James has just read the scriptures in Leviticus. Leviticus 19 and verse 18, the second example there. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sins of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am the Lord. And brothers and sisters, once again, we are the family of God. And we are to hold dear and protect what the scriptures deem as valuable and important for God's people, both for ourselves as well as to be the protector of the good name of those in the Lord in particular. Proverbs 21 verse 1, 22 verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. But with a word, we will speak evil against a brother. And there are many examples in the Psalms of David that lay this control of the tongue as the key to protecting a good name, ours as well as the name of our brothers and sisters, their reputation. And this psalmist regards as blameless those who walk before the Lord. Let me give you one example here. Psalm 51:15, David writes, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and does what is right, and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. And brothers and sisters, we may not be guilty of slander, of spreading lies, which should be beyond the believer anyway. James and the scriptures clearly forbids any manner of speaking against even the truth in the absence of love. There's no benefit if it does no good to your brother. Therefore, restrain your heart and your mind and your tongue, and be intent on making your speech gracious. Colossians 4 verse 6, let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. Brothers and sisters, speaking evil, speaking against, that is the devil's sin. In Revelation, he's spoken of the accuser of the brothers. That is participating in Satan's pastime. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He accuses them day and night before our God. That's Revelation verse chapter 12. This is further reason, brothers and sisters, not to align ourselves with those who accuse and talk slander and do harm rather than good in our speech. This is the devil's work. And next Lord's Day, we'll consider reasons and pitfalls to the sin of speaking evil against our neighbor. Let's remember the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7. I need not read it, but Jesus said, "Judge not so that you will not be judged. For the judgment which you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you will use will be measured against you." And speaking about taking the speck out of our brother's eye when there is a log in our own eye. "You hypocrite," says Jesus, "first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Speaking the truth. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Thirdly, in the third place we observe, and in the final place, your ears may be as guilty as your mind and your tongue. Your ears may be as guilty as your mind and as your tongue. You may not be an outright slanderer. There's no church place in the church family for that. And you may most likely and should be able to bridle your tongue. And this is a grace that should be evident to some member, to some measure, in every member of the family of God. You may even, by the grace of God, humble yourself in your heart before God and search yourself and your motives in thinking evil against a brother, and repenting of this in your heart, and remembering that wonderful advice of James: when we humble ourselves before God, he gives us more grace and further abilities to submit ourselves to God as we draw near to him and resist the devil. But there is another warning here. Let us watch also against the itching ear. Let us watch also against the itching ear. Perhaps while not thinking or speaking evil, let us also guard our hearts against the listening, Manton says, to the whispers of speaking against our brothers. We must not receive these whispers against an ordinary brother or a minister in the Lord in particular, as Paul points out in 1 Timothy 5:19. Do not admit a charge against the elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Brothers and sisters, it is in these whispers of slander and speaking evil where our sin nature is awakened, and when we give the devil a foothold to ensnare us to sin. Consider Paul, Saul, before he was Paul of Tarsus. He was just an onlooker. He was watching over the robes of those who were stoning Stephen. Consider that this was the start of his violent campaign against the church before the Lord arrested him on the Damascus Road. Brothers and sisters, let us watch our lives and our doctrine closely. Guard our ears against even hearing the speaking of evil against the brother. And there's an express provision here, not only for brothers and sisters, but for the minister and his reputation. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures breathed out by God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And it's the minister's job through the word to judge his own soul and the soul of those he instructs in truth and righteousness. And so Paul writes these words: this is the work of the word that is given to the minister. And it is, in a sense, a work of judging through instruction in the word that makes the minister or the teacher more vulnerable to the slander. And Manton says, "They are apt to hate him who reproved them at the gate." And of course, in James chapter 3, we've already been warned in verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." And also, brothers and sisters, not just for the minister of the gospel, in slandering a brother, in speaking evil against the brother, their honor is linked to the glory of God and the gospel. Not just the minister, you as a father in your home, as you teach and instruct your children, we ought to be careful not to speak against a brother or a sister or a family member as an example, because our honor is linked to the gospel and to the glory of God in Christ as his people. Brothers and sisters, let's guard against this great evil so that it does not make its way into the church. It is a clear command for the child of God. Do not speak evil against one another. As we close, I just want to bring one further example, further application, if you like, from the psalmist and from David in particular, who in this Psalm 101, is seeking to walk with integrity. He would not endure these things in his house. And David resolves before God to walk in integrity. Listen to Psalm 101 and verse 5. He writes, "He who slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure." David says, "In my house, I seek to walk in integrity before the Lord. Do you slander his neighbor? I will destroy. He has a haughty look, an arrogant heart. I will not endure. He will not have this in his house because he was a child of God." Brothers and sisters, let us not have this in God's house. The whisper, the speaking against a brother or a sister. We may not be as the psalmist David, but God is greater than our hearts. And if we humble ourselves, he gives us more grace. This is the promise of James. He gives us more grace. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And we will resist the devil, and he will free from us as we submit ourselves, not to our passions or our selfish ambitions or our pride, but in obedience to the word of Christ. There is a clear command. Do not think or speak evil. Speak the truth only in love. Speak the truth only in love. And watch your ears. They may be as guilty as your mind and your tongue. And perhaps this is a good time as we come to the Lord's table to consider the example of the Lord Jesus Christ before us, who did not speak evil, unless he was called as judge to do so, and he will again. As we come to the Lord's table, we consider the example of Christ from Isaiah chapter 53, who came into the world not to judge the world. And so often this is what we want to do. We want to judge another. And by speaking against and by highlighting the mistakes, the failures of others, Christ came, who was qualified to judge the world, not to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He will come as final judge one day. He, by example, endured suffering. He endured punishment for sin, which he did not commit for our sakes. And he endured the wrath of God and the justice of God in our place, for our sins, that we might be forgiven. And let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 53, well-known words, "But he was pierced for our iniquities. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before that the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you, acknowledging that in our hearts and in our minds, and even sometimes in our speech, we speak unkindly of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord, we pray that we would examine the motives of our own hearts. Pray that you would forgive us from our many sins. We pray here as a family, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, as we come together around your table. Oh Lord, that you would forgive us for our sins against one another, sins of jealousy and strife and pride, sins of whisperings and of thinking poorly in our minds for a brother or a sister against them. Oh Lord, preserve us from this evil. Give us a greater love for one another, for we are your people, and we are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, we pray, in Christ's name.